Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio. Much more than a message, an offer of true life. Chapter 2. The gospel of God goes far beyond the exposition of a simple message. Many people have heard since childhood that the gospel of God is the most precious message of all time. The expression in the previous paragraph seems to be very lovely and very broad, but it may also be very dangerous, not because of the preciousness of the gospel, but for the interpretation that people can make when they hear that the gospel is a message. A message can be a transmission of an elementary thought, information, knowledge, explanation of a concept, idea, or the sending of an instruction to be heard and followed. However, although the gospel of God can be introduced to people using a message, the gospel of God is much more than a simple message. The gospel of God is a real offer of a set of gifts from God and which are available to be accessed by all human beings from the moment they hear the offer. Worldwide, there are many types of announcements being made every day. There are announcements of events that occurred on the day that just went through, there are announcements of future promises, there are old knowledge announcements, there are future prospecting announcements, there are products delivery announcements, and so on. Simply saying that the gospel of God is an announcement, without properly qualifying the type of its announcement, may significantly reduce the understanding and position that people will have in relation to the gospel of God. Although the gospel of God is exposed in a context that contains some characteristics of messages and announcements, it is more than these. The gospel of the Lord is the actual offer of a set of accessible, living, and real aspects of God to human beings. Moreover, to introduce the difference between announcements and offers, we will try to use some natural examples of people's daily lives. When a car shop wants, for instance, to make known the fact that it has a car to sell, it uses what we call announcements of the cars available for sale. The announcement of the sale is a communication tool of what the store is offering, but the announcement is not yet the actual offer itself. If the process of the car announcement is observed more closely, it may be seen that the store does not really make an announcement of the car itself, but what the store does is the announcement of an offer so that the car can be purchased. The process of selling and buying a car may start from the announcement of an offer, but the final deal of the sale of the car by the seller and the purchase by the customer does not just happen because of the advertisement. The conclusion of a sale and a purchase takes place around an offer with many more terms and details to be agreed between the seller and the buyer than those who have been exposed to the announcement. The process of selling a car goes through several stages until it is completed. It goes through the stage of acquiring a car by the store, stocking this car, preparing and announcing the proposal, negotiating, closing the negotiation, and delivering, in fact, the car. And despite all these steps are called the car sales process, each aspect has its individual characteristics and actions. But still, the point of the completion of the car sales by the seller, and simultaneously the purchase by the buyer, occurs around a final offer, agreed in some way between the parties, and which should result in the delivery of the negotiated item. People do not aspire to buy the announcements. They want to buy what has been advertised. The sale that stays in the pure announcement and that does not deliver what was sold to the customers is considered an act of deceit and fraud. No one, in their right mind, will be content to receive more information and more announcements about the qualities of the car that they purchased in exchange for the actual delivery of the purchased car. And just as the process of selling a car has several stages, but that, at some point, must culminate with a factual conclusion related to a real and concrete offer, including the delivery of the items involved, so also the presentation process of the gospel of God goes through several stages so that its offer, granted by the grace of God, can be actually delivered. It is highly significant, for example, to know that the preaching of the gospel is something distinct from the gospel itself. The preaching of the gospel is the proclamation or the announcement of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel is the spread of a message that exposes the gospel. The gospel, however, is more than a message. It is a consistent offer of God-given gifts addressed to human beings. The proclamation or preaching of the gospel is the announcement of what the heavenly offer proposes to grant so that a person may live its life according to the will of God. However, the gospel itself, it is the real offer and the means to fulfill the delivery of the gifts of this offer of God. The preaching of the gospel, the announcement of the gospel, should never be confused with the gospel itself. The preaching, proclamation, or announcements of the gospel are a means through which people are told about the availability of a special offer of gifts from God for their lives. Let's see below some texts that very clearly separate the preaching and the proclamation of the gospel from the gospel itself. Mark 16:15. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." 1 Corinthians 9:16. "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me, yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." Isaiah 52:7. "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns." Revelation 14:6. "Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people." The gospel of God is given by God to be announced. It is given by God to be proclaimed throughout the whole world. It is given to be preached by the four corners of the earth. But the gospel of God is not a preaching or a proclamation in itself. The gospel is the target of preaching or the proclamation. To preach the gospel of God is to make known the fact that God has an actual offer of life readily available to all who receive the gift offered by God. The preaching of the gospel of God is not the announcement of another announcement, but it is the proclamation of something that is effectively available to be received. The preaching of the gospel of God is not a message about another message, but it is a message about something tangible and real that God is offering to be actually received. The preaching of the gospel of God is not a message elaborated with beautiful words about the beautiful words of God. The preaching of the gospel of God is the clarification that what is offered by God is a very real new life and that it is life for all eternity. Although the preaching of the gospel is an indispensable instrument for it to be announced, it is not the preaching of the gospel that saves people, but it is the acceptance of the gospel preached that saves them. Although the preaching of the gospel proclaims the special life offered by the gospel, life is not in preaching, but in him whom the preaching of the gospel proclaims. The preaching of the gospel should aim at a clear exposition of God's offer to each person so that each one can understand that this offer is already available to all who receive it in the way that it is offered. Considering the example of the sale and purchase of the car again, we know that the sale occurs simultaneously with the buying and that the sale evolves to the fulfillment if the customer accepts the announced offer. The final realization of the offer, however, is only concluded with the delivery of the associated objects of the corresponding offer. Thus, the gospel of God, besides being an offer of God to all human beings, also encompasses the acceptance and delivery of what is offered. If the sale of a car does not culminate in the delivery of the sold car, this sale will be nothing more than a fallacy, it will be nothing more than a speech of empty words, it will not be more than sublimity of words. The gospel of God does not encompass only a proposal of a future hope, but it is the offer of gifts that have the beginning of action in a personal life at the act in which the person receives what is offered. Nevertheless, how can a person make a proper announcement of what one does not know well? How can a car shop seller, in the example above, make a good and fair offer if he or she does not know the details of what is being offered. And knowing that many people would use the name of the Gospel of God to present the Gospel just as a set of words, and not as an offer of real life, the Lord, through Paul, has already instructed us to be attentive to avoid the discourses about the Gospel but that do not have the focus on delivering what they announce. 1 Corinthians 2, 1-5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men but in the power of God. So, assigning a greater value to oratory and speeches than to the content itself about what is announced is a temptation that often surrounds those who make use of announcements and messages. When a messenger begins to regard oneself improperly in relation to what he or she announces or in relation to the offer that he or she propagates, one starts to step in a great danger of attributing excessive value to the oratory and speeches to the detriment of the clear presentation of what the announcement offers. Many preachers throughout history, and even nowadays, have been much more occupied with issues about how they presented themselves or how they should perform in their preaching, and yet, what words they should select for their discourses, than to be objective in announcing that God has a real offer of life for those who want the life provided from the heavenly kingdom. Just as many people are more concerned with the marketing of a product or a service than with the quality of them, many preachers try to induce people to be dependent on their messages and announcements instead of telling them the way to indeed receiving what the Gospel of God offers them. To announce that the Gospel is a simple message, and not the actual offer of new life that is already available, is to present to people just a theoretical expectation of what can already be experienced as a reality. Many theories have the potential to imprison many people for many years, including the preaching of the Gospel of God as a simple message. When the theoretical messages about the Gospel take place in people's lives, their preachers can imprison their viewers for years and years around them. Moreover, when people think that the Gospel is information and knowledge, they can be content for years and years with the hearing of a little more knowledge about it, however, without realizing that they are satisfied only with information and without actually knowing what is offered for real by the Gospel of God. Satisfaction with oratory and speech has always attracted humankind and continues to attract, but the Gospel is more than an oratory, more than a message, more than a book well written for centuries. The Gospel of God is a real offer of life according to the will of God. The Gospel of God is an offer available to those who want to receive what is offered to them by God. When a person receives and understands what the Gospel of God offers, one is no longer dependent on the human preachers of the Gospel, because one has received what was announced and what is greater than this kind of messengers. John the Baptist, the announcer of the introduction of the Gospel of God in the world, realized that God's offer was greater than he and his proclamation were, and, therefore, he stated it clearly and openly so that the hearers of his announcement placed their eyes and heart on God's offer and not on the human messengers, as follows. John 3, 26-33. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness, that I said, I am not the Christ, but, I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all, he who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. A faithful announcer of the gospel of God knows that the offerer and the offer of the gospel of God must have primacy over everything and everyone, and knows that the primacy never belongs to him or to her as mere messengers of the offer. John 1, 15. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." Colossians 1, 18-23. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy, and blameless, and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 and 11. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. No one would willingly accept a letter carrier who would open the mail addressed to a person to make the delivery of it gradually with the purpose of keeping the receiver dependent on him or her. Moreover, no one would willingly accept a letter carrier who wanted to instruct people on what to do with the mail addressed to them. These kinds of attitudes are simply not the letter carrier's assignment. Unfortunately, however, both in the scriptures and in contemporary life, we find preachers and announcers that claim to announce the gospel of God and that also insist on placing themselves in positions that have not been bestowed on them by God, therefore, in positions of dangerous letters carriers. These are the kind of behaviors that generate strong oppositions to the gospel of the Lord. Let's look at an example in the following text. 3 John 1, 9. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Messengers have an important role as couriers of the communication that someone has entrusted to them to pass on, but the best instructor to instruct about the purpose of something that was intended for someone is the one who generated what was sent to the receiver. That is why, when actually a person receives the gospel of God, one also receives the connection with the one who sent or offered the gospel. Psalms 32, 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, I will guide you with my eye. And yet, concluding this chapter and highlighting one more time the concept set forth above, let us also see some definitions of some dictionaries on the meaning of the word offer, which we suggest for a reading with close attention. Many dictionary Luft. Offer. Action or effect of making an offer or offer oneself. Gift. To offer. To present to be accepted, gift, vow, prayer, etc. To dedicate. To present. To propose with certain conditions. To provide, make available. To expose at sight, to display. Google Dictionary. Offer. An expression of readiness to do or give something if desired. Merriam-Webster Dictionary. To offer. To present for acceptance or rejection. To make, something, available. To provide or supply, something. Looking at the various dictionaries above, and associating these definitions to what has been said on this subject about the gospel being an offer, we understand that it is possible then to consider that the gospel of God is the expression of a set of gifts that relies on God's readiness to be given to those who accept what God offers them.